Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. Roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. To me, this is the time of the year between now and New Year's. They're all holiday weekends. You've got parties, get-togethers, or maybe you just want to put your feet up, watch a game. Make sure you're fully stocked at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Give you an update on the game being played right now. I know, Matt, you're really interested in this game. You didn't even know the game was being played. It's just so sad. Do you follow sports? All right. The last bowl bid is on the line here.
Well, last time I saw it was 15-0.
Akron leads Akron. Buffalo 22-17 in the fourth quarter with 11 minutes to go.
Oh.
Okay. Buffalo took the lead 17-16. After being down 16-0, came back 17 unanswered points. But then Akron, Joe Moorhead's team, and Daniel George, the former Nittany Lion, has caught a touchdown pass in this game. This is all info that Matt's been feeding me. I don't know any of this stuff. You have any idea what I'm talking about? No, just kidding. Just kidding. But now, Clyde Price's 17-yard run, they missed the two-point conversion. 22-17, Akron. If Buffalo wins, they get a bowl bid. If they don't, UNLV gets it. The stakes are high. Championship game, by the way, is tomorrow, Ohio University against Toledo. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Another big night for Josh Allen and the Bills.
Josh looks, going to throw. Pressured, moves to his right, out of the pocket, looks into the end zone, can't find anybody. Chase to the sideline, fires into the end zone, and it is caught. Gabe Davis makes the catch in the end zone.
Bills Radio Network last night, they beat the Patriots 24-10, essentially toyed with them all night. I mean, the Patriots have no offense. My goodness. They have no offense. No wonder they're talking about bringing Brady back. Did you see that story? The rumor running around, they're going to attempt to bring Brady back for a year? Really?
I'll believe that when I see it.
But what if he went to Philadelphia? You'd be all excited.
Not really. Actually, Jalen Hurts is just fine for me.
Oh, he'll collapse here in about a week. All right.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Hurts is pretty good. His accuracy is what impresses me. I always knew he could run. He's just become an exponential. He was not an accurate quarterback at Alabama. Just was not. All right. Let's be honest. That's how he lost the job, was the lack of accuracy. But then when he got to Oklahoma and he was with Lincoln Riley for a year, I give him credit. I mean, he became more accurate, throws well on the run, brings that different dimension. He's kind of playing, I think, the way that Kyle Shanahan is hoping down the road that Trey Lance plays. I think that's the general idea of what they're looking for. All right, a lot to talk about here. Not a little, a lot. So let's bring in Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Dennis, great to have you with us again.
Steve, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to be with you today. Well, It certainly is shaking out to be an interesting week. So let's start with the playoff part of it. The Rose Bowl, it sounded to me, and you tell me if I'm wrong, you're either in or you're out, so make up your mind. Is that how simple it got?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. This had been, I guess, a quarter century in the making when the Rose Bowl agreed to join the BCS in 1998. They held their nose, realizing that once every, 4 years, they would have to give up their exclusivity to the Big Ten and Pac-12. And it finally came to a head in a 12-team playoff where, I put it this way, it had come to the point where the games themselves were more important than where they were being played. And that finally hit the Rose Bowl when they wanted to keep that January 1st, 5 o'clock Eastern slot. And the caretakers of the CFP basically said, no, that's too valuable a piece of television to dedicate it to the Rose Bowl. So if they hadn't done that, they may have probably would have been out in 26 when they renegotiate this contract.
That means that I think they get the semifinals next year, which means that this year will be the final year of the Big Ten Pac-12 matchup in the Rose Bowl, you know, unless it's a playoff game, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was a hint of from Bill Hancock yesterday on the conference call of when the Rose Bowl's in a quarterfinal. There may be some accommodation given to them to try to steer a Pac-12 or Big Ten team their way, but you know that's going to be a function of those first round games. So if they get the traditional matchup, it'll just be by consequence from here on, basically.
Okay, the playoff goes to 12, and you—I mean, look—you've exhausted a lot of words writing about this over the years. I mean, you really have, because you've been working hard and going at it. Does it stay at 12 when the new contract comes up, based on what you understand, or is there an opening to 16 down the road?
That's a great question. If you look at how they've structured it, there is room there to go to 16 as soon as 2026, because those first round games are more or less 12 days after the conference championship games. Well, you're going to have to take 2 days to play four games. Why not take 2 days or 3 days to play eight and get it right down to eight right away so you can go right into the quarterfinals? So, yeah, I definitely think that's a possibility. You know, they're going to have to wait and see how this goes for 2 years, but I think there's going to be, and the money will be there certainly,
yeah,
to go to see how this goes, how seamless this goes. But I think you hit on something that I've thought about already. The opening is there to go to 16.
And this is what my thought process behind it. Yeah, 24, 25, it's 12. That's locked in. And then you're going to have multiple networks potentially involved starting at 26.
Yeah.
And that means more inventory needed. That's why I'm thinking that way.
Yeah, it's the only major sport without multiple rights holders. It just became the last major American sport to have a progressive playoff, and by that I mean, you know, a bracketed playoff. I don't really count the four as a bracketed playoff that progresses to a champion. They're the last one, and so there's going to be a lot of content, a lot of inventory for the rights holders. You know, we know who they are. You know, CBS, NBC, Amazon, Fox are all going to want a piece of this. The 12-teamer has already been valued at, conservatively, at $1.6 billion per year. It sits at about 600 right now. So you can see what is quadrupling the field has done just in the short term. It could be worth much more.
I'm not going to pretend I know how the California Board of Regents works, and I'm not going to pretend to know how much power they actually wield, because last I checked, the Fresno State and San Diego State, which are a part of it, are in different conferences in the Pac-12. So December, I also think that they don't know how college sports works, and this has actually been an education for them,
yeah.
Especially when the Big 12 contract came down, because Kliavkov had said, oh, 42 to 47, and then that came down, it was 31. What is your thought on December 14th with UCLA?
It's gotten very political. I think that the Regents just want their, you know, their pint of blood from UCLA, and I could sum it up real easily. I think what's going to happen is UCLA is probably going to have to cut Cal a check every year because UCLA is going to have enhanced nutrition because of all this money they're getting from the Big Ten, and Cal being left behind is going to have to be made whole in some kind of way. And so I think that's what it's going to be. Do I think UCLA is going to be compelled to stay in the Pac-12? No, because the Pac-12 would be maybe cutting its own throat if they do that. Think about this, Steve. If UCLA stays in the Pac, it would be Pac-11, by the way, yeah, at that point, then the Big Ten has to, they have a contract with those three networks. They have to fill that inventory.
Yep.
I guarantee you the presidents would vote immediately to go get an Oregon, a Washington, whoever, to that would essentially collapse the Pac-12 and, you know, make good on the inventory that those networks signed up to broadcast. So, no, UCLA is not going anywhere. They're going to go to the Big Ten.
Yeah, and that's how I've looked at it the entire time. In other words, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
We want them to stay. Well, be careful what you wish for, okay? Because you've got a problem here right now. And look, I understand a commissioner who's fighting for his job here. I got it, okay? And that's what Kliavkov's been doing. I just think that I felt like his press conference at the Pac-12 was as mellow as he's been, which I thought was interesting.
Well, you mean the preseason media day?
I'm talking about the one he just had before the championship game.
Oh, yesterday. Yeah, he was. There's been all this tub-thumping about the Big 12 will never raid our schools. UCLA will actually lose money going to the Big 10. I'm not a math major, Steve, but yeah, 75 million is more than 41 million. That I know.
Yeah.
He's tried to... You know, using the Regents as a wedge, trying to shame UCLA back in, but it's not going to happen.
No.
It's just going to be a new day.
And every time they talk about this, they always leave out there is a revenue sharing component in the Big Ten too, which UCLA actually be a beneficiary of. But that's another topic, another day. How do you look at this weekend playing out?
I think it'll sort of be chalk. I think the top three are locked in, regardless. I think the only a couple of questions there is if Kansas State blows out TCU, which I don't see happening. I think it's going to be a really, really tough game for TCU because this is a Kansas State team that I think is much better than what they played in October. Kansas State led at TCU 28-10 and eventually lost the game 38-28, but they're a different team offensively. Will Howard, the backup.
Yeah.
Has played better than Adrian Martinez, the transfer from Nebraska, by far. Deuce Vaughn is at the America level tailback, is going to play in the NFL. By the way, take a look. The smallest FBS player I've ever seen on either side of the ball. It's a really cool player. Michigan, Michigan's going to outrace Purdue in some sort of way. And Georgia, I think, I'm in Atlanta right now, is going to be kind of a beat-up LSU. And then the question becomes, will USC beat a very, very formidable Utah that beat them by a point with a two-pointer late in that game in Salt Lake City? So they would be at risk with two losses to the same team. And then what do you do with Ohio State? And I think that's the only question. I can't see a situation where Alabama with two losses or Tennessee with two losses gets in over an Ohio State that has lost once. As bad as that was last week, five plays of over 45 yards. Michigan had hit 150-yard pass all season.
Right.
Until last Saturday. In a two-minute span, they hit a 69-yarder and a 75-yarder. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting because I don't see them jumping Ohio State either because of the one loss component part of it.
No.
And that's interesting. So even if TCU doesn't make it, you think they're going to be in?
Yeah, TCU loses. Yeah, I think there's at this juncture, I think there's something to be said for being undefeated. They've already beaten everybody in their conference.
Right.
In a conference, by the way, that is the only one that plays everybody.
Right.
I think that's being overlooked. And so if they lose to Kansas State, I don't, Ohio State didn't even win its division.
Yeah.
You jump them over that? Yeah, that's hard for me. I think they're still in.
Well, Alabama's won national championships and didn't win its division, so
yes,
I don't.
They have.
Yeah,
yes,
so
they have.
It's you know, you bring that up every once in a while. I assume you have a Heisman ballot, right?
I do not.
Oh, you
I
do not. You so you and I are in
no,
the same
I,
boat.
Yeah,
wow.
I gave mine up in 2015 because of transparency issues, and actually wrote a column about it that won an award. Because they will not let you, under the threat of the Ayatollah, they will not let you write about who you voted for when you turn your ballot in. And that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we're sitting there promoting your award. And the only reason they do it is to keep some sort of drama there with ESPN, who does the broadcast. I'm done. You know, I don't. Yeah. That doesn't enhance my life if I don't.
Right.
If I have a Heisman ballot.
Well, it's interesting because I mean I do have a vote for all Big Ten, and I just went through a show on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I see how the vote turned out, and I couldn't talk about how I voted because it's in the agreement. Yeah. I couldn't say who I voted for and why and how the system actually works.
You know what? Life's too short, and I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's fine. If you had one, who would you go with?
Right now, I'd go with, I think it's Caleb Williams to lose. In fact, if they lose, if USC loses, I don't know who to put in there. Who do you, you know, I'd go C.J. Stroud second, but the lasting memory of him from last Saturday is not good. And then maybe a Max Duggan from
TCU
third,
who's
already won. By the way, has already won the Davey O'Brien Golden Arm Award. It's going to be interesting to see how some of these quarterback and the Player of the Year awards are split up. So that's right now that's kind of chalk.
Yeah, I'll let you one more, and I'll let you go. What kind of messages did Nebraska and Wisconsin send by hiring Matt Rhule and Luke Fickell, respectively?
I thought they were two really good hires. I thought from the beginning that Matt Rhule was the best hire for Nebraska. He's a program builder. I'm willing to overlook the NFL because there's one coach that comes to mind that's ever succeeded there in recent years, and that's Pete Carroll that came from college.
Yep.
So it is what it is. I was there for his time at Baylor. Steve, his first recruiting class included their best player from Texas that they signed in the first recruiting class was a 178-pound receiver. Their best recruit was some sort of offensive lineman who was the 258th best player in the country.
Yeah.
And 3 years later, that with that class as a foundation, they were in double overtime with Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game. So that's all I need to say about that. It did the same at Temple from worse to first.
Yep.
It's going to be a heavy lift at Nebraska because Nebraska has profound talent issues, I think, really visibility issues. The average recruit doesn't know who Tom Osborne is. It's cold in Lincoln. And guess what? Nebraska went from, we just have to split with Wisconsin and Iowa to win the West, to, I guarantee you, by this time next year, it'll be a single division where you're going to have to beat Ohio State, Penn State, and or Michigan to get into the top two. So it gets harder.
Yeah.
And then Luke Fickell was... Yeah, I mean, it's native territory, the Big Ten. It's a place he can win, higher resourced.
Yep.
Look, this was a guy that was courted by, USC, LSU, every opening last year. And he feels comfortable there. I think Paul Chryst has kind of gotten crusty, but a guy that won 72% of his games, they're going to have to get a more balanced offense. They'll run the ball. But they'll play defense better, too, and that says a lot. Jim Leonard being the interim there is a great defensive coordinator.
Yep. Yeah. No. Yeah. Absolutely. And happy for Matt Rhule. He's a state college guy and Penn State guy. So there you go. Hey, Dennis, thanks so much. I know you moved things around to be with us today. Really appreciate it. And happy holidays to you.
You too, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
far as I'm concerned, it's a holiday weekend. Championship games, NFL. Next weekend, holiday weekend. Army, Navy, some basketball, NFL. Weekend after that, bowl season starts. Holiday weekend. Christmas weekend, plus Hanukkah. Holiday weekend. New Year's weekend, holiday weekend. These are all holiday weekends, so stock up at Brewers Outlet. I know you like how I think, Matt.
Absolutely.
Right? Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. Get in the car, turn the radio on, listen to the show. Stock up right now. You never know when you're going to go over to somebody's house. You never know if somebody's going to stop by. Or maybe you have some big plans. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. To me, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, and Thanksgiving to New Year's, this year, January 2nd, is one big holiday. So stock up, have some laughs, kick your feet up, and enjoy. We need to have fun. Right, every time you turn around, and people are down about something or they're mad about something. Kick your feet up and have some fun. You'll live longer if you laugh. Yeah? Imports and domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, time to bring in the king. Speaking of having some fun.
Hello.
King.
There he is.
How's it going, boys?
Doing good.
Good. Speaking of having fun, get this. Guess where I'm going to be Christmas Eve day?
At UConn's bowl game.
No.
Oh.
They're not going to a bowl game, are they?
Yes, they are. UConn's going. Yes.
Where are they going?
I can guarantee you UConn's name will be called on Sunday.
Really?
UConn is absolutely going to a bowl game.
Like the Cheez-It Bowl or the Triscuit Bowl or something?
I saw one that happened going to Shreveport, playing the Independence Bowl. I saw a couple of others, but no, they're in.
Wow. That's because of Mora. Well, getting a little love.
Go get your plane ticket now, King.
Very disappointing when they lost to Army. So they should have. To say you're going big time, you got to win that game. And they weren't even in it from the start. So,
all right.
But
you're going to a bowl game. America will be watching.
Well, I'm going to. I did one of my customers a favor, and it was a pretty big favor, but I love the guy. I've known him for years. And he turns around and he says, "What are you doing Christmas Eve?" I said, "Nothing." And so he goes, "Why don't you go to the Patriots game? I got four tickets, 50-yard line, 10 rows back."
Bingo! There you go.
Joe Burrow, baby. Cincinnati, New England, 50-yard line.
Wow.
These are $500 seats. Holy crap.
So, Joe Burrow.
And then the week after, New Year's Eve, I'm going with my neighbors. I got tickets to UConn Women, UConn Marquette.
There you go. Well done.
I got one
for
that one. So,
wow. Yeah, I don't have anything going on that weekend, so. Oh, wait, I do. All right. I'll find out Sunday.
You're going to a Cotton Bowl. Well,
no.
I don't know. I think your bro's heading to Pasadena, baby.
No, we're going to the Rose Bowl. Yes.
Well, it doesn't. But you need UFC to lose.
Doesn't matter.
Nope, they don't need anything.
Found out, doesn't matter.
They don't need anything. I've been saying this since Monday. They don't need anything.
So who are all these experts? I mean, I'm on Twitter, and there's all these Penn State experts. I mean, there's probably 30 of them. And they're all saying Cotton Bowl. That the outside chance to go to the Rose Bowl.
I think, it's only my opinion, but I think they are going to the Rose Bowl. And I think now other people are now on board with what we've talked about since Monday.
Yes.
That the Rose Bowl was open, that they had the ability to do it. Ohio State was there last year. And if Ohio State doesn't make the playoff, they will go to the Orange Bowl. And that Tennessee,
well,
in all likelihood.
These guys are saying that Penn State needs things to happen for them to go to the Rose Bowl. They don't need anything to happen to go to the Cotton Bowl.
Nope.
Not anymore. Because Ohio State was there last year.
They don't need anything to happen to go to the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
It's just the way it worked out.
Oh, I hope it's a Rose Bowl. I mean, that's the big daddy. So who would they play? USC? No, if USC's in the Final Four, who would they play?
They would play either Washington or Utah.
Okay. And USC and Utah are playing each other. So where's UCLA going?
Probably the Alamo Bowl. No, okay. I'm sorry. No. My apologies. If USC wins tonight.
I accept it.
Okay. Okay. If Utah loses tonight, they will go to the Alamo Bowl. UCLA will go to the Sun Bowl, which is now called the Tony the Tiger Bowl.
What?
I'm not kidding you.
That's great.
I'm not kidding you. I mean, they got the big tiger right there in the middle of the field, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, you got to really suck not to make a bowl game. I mean, that's a loser season if you don't make it in a bowl game. They got so many different games. UConn does not deserve to be in a bowl game. I'm sorry. So, although I want them in the bowl game,
you
got to earn something. I mean, you can't just get it because you're 6-6. You know, their wins was against a Division II team.
You know what?
You know,
first of all, where was UConn before? Down and out.
Oh, I know, but I don't lose track of the fact that they lost 55-0. You can't. They started the season pretty poor and got smacked around pretty good. Those games count too.
I know they do. And you know
what?
I'm
a UConn fan. I'm just saying that what this world we live in is everybody gets a trophy now. You know, so.
Hey, you know what? You want to know why all these bowl games exist?
Money.
Money and the fact that ESPN, which owns 14 of them, right?
Yep.
They don't own the college football playoff ones, obviously. But they own 14 of them. This is great programming for them.
Oh, yeah.
Not good programming. It's great programming.
I mean, it's great. There's always a good game on all the time.
Let me give you an example.
Teams, you know,
We'll go back to 2016 or somewhere around there.
You know, be honest. Do you think UConn would make a bowl game if Mora wasn't the coach?
No. But I'll give you an example. This is the power of bowl games right now in terms of the TV audience. And it goes back a few years.
Yeah.
Indiana basketball, this is, I think, 2016. Is playing on CBS against Butler in a December game. Now, in Indiana at the time was ranked number one. And they're playing Butler, and we know at this point especially what Butler's reputation in basketball happened to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good backyard matchup between two schools separated by 50 miles that both have a national name. And it's on CBS. The New Mexico Bowl on ESPN between two teams I can't remember. I think one of them may have been Temple. Beat it out in the ratings.
Wow.
That's what college bowl games, it doesn't matter. ESPN has it set up schedule-wise. They've got a game every night. It is really, for them, programming perfection because it draws viewers. Only two bowl games a year usually have fewer than 1 million viewers. Only two.
Who would that be?
Usually it's like the Bahamas Bowl and usually like a Boca Raton Bowl. It's usually a game that's really early in the schedule.
Well, I saw that. That's playing this weekend. I mean, now that's good to go 500 and get a free trip to Hawaii or the Bahama Bowl. The Hawaii Bowl, the Bahama Bowl, although Hawaii.
You know what? Eastern Michigan made the Bahamas Bowl 1 year.
Yeah.
And the play-by-play guy, Matt Shepard, good friend of mine, because he also for years did Michigan basketball. He now does the Detroit Tigers. But he was doing Michigan basketball and Eastern Michigan football. So when I finally caught up to him in basketball when Penn State played Michigan, I said, hey, Matt, how was the Bahamas thing? He says, Steve, they flew us in the night before. I was there for 18 hours, did the game, and left. I was like, great. No, that's not really good.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah, so let's take a break. We'll come back. Picks in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Time to pick some games.
All right, let's do it. King, you and I won last week at 6-4. I am 78-60.
Yeah, we were 7-3.
Oh, I missed one. Okay, even better. 7-3.
Well, the only reason that you count like Green Bay, in Philly, it was actually with the points.
Yes.
Even. So is that a win or a loss?
Well, we all picked Philly in the 7, so I considered that a win.
Right. So I got you and me at 7-3 and Steve at 6-4.
Okay. Well, then I'll move everybody up one. So that makes me 79-60. King at 73-63.
I'm feeling so much better now.
Steve at 81-57.
Okay, so I know we don't have time now, but I'm going to go through the numbers. If you add up my numbers, my total number, yours and Steve's, this is as of last week, was 128, and mine was 125. So I'm missing 3 points somewhere.
Okay.
You lost all three. Move on.
And they were all wins.
All right, you'll have to email me this week. Yeah, email me this week.
Just kidding.
We'll I'm gonna go. I've got every week. So right. I've got every week for the last 7 years. So that's pretty bad. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So we got off the Vikings and the Jets. Vikings 3 points at home. Steve.
I'll take Minnesota. I know the Jets, Mike White, the whole thing, but the game's in Minnesota. I think they can cover it.
Yeah, I think the Jets come back down to earth a little bit. I think it's still a good game. I got Minnesota at home in the points. King?
I'm taking the Jets with the points. I love their defense.
All
and
right.
If Mike White can play.
I would be okay if the Jets win. I'd be very okay with that, in fact, with the Eagles standing right now.
I'll take 3 points with it.
All right. Now we got
a happy team, though.
So. Yeah.
I just think that margin's too close. I mean, it kind of leads to who wins the game.
Right.
Right.
All right, now we got San Francisco hosting Miami 49ers, 4-point favorites at home. King.
I will take the Dolphins with 4 points.
Wow, okay. I got the 49ers at home in the 4. Steve.
Yeah, I think again, the margin's too small. So I think that at this point you pick a winner. I think it's San Francisco.
All right, now we move on to...
I'll say this, San Francisco does not blow people out, but
no.
The defense is so good.
Yeah, I think that's why. Defense wins in this game, but Miami definitely will keep it close. That's going to be a good game, definitely. All right, now we'll see. We got Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, who now King will see in a couple weeks, and Foxborough hosting Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and the visiting Brett Veaches have 2 on the road as a road favorite. King.
I got KC giving up 2, but I think KC wins it outright.
All right, and Steve?
I'll take the Chiefs. I leave out the I.
There you go.
It's the Chiefs.
I got the Brett Veaches as well in the points. Yeah, I like the Chiefs. Next one, we've got Washington, 2.5-point favorite on the road to MetLife Stadium to take on the New York Football Giants. Steve.
Wow.
The Giants are not playing well, and I feel like Washington is. But I'm going to roll the dice and take the Giants.
Okay. Yeah, this is. I feel like this is a big one for the Giants if they're going to stay in it. This is because they got a brutal schedule now.
This is their line in the sand game, right?
Yeah,
here.
I definitely agree, but I think Washington's the most dangerous team in the league right now. And Heinicke, you know, he is what he is, but he's winning games and he's playing well in moments that he needs to play well. So I'm sticking with the Commanders and plus the 2.5.
Okay. I got Washington giving up 2.5. I think they're going to blow the Giants. So I think Giants are done, as usual. Washington's playing really well. And that quarterback changes the team.
So far it has. And then finally, you got the Eagles, 5-point favorites at home, hosting Derrick Henry and the Titans. I'm going to start with King on this one.
I'm going to give up the 5 and take Philly. I saw Tennessee a couple times, man. Their offense is not that good. I got Philly giving up 5.
And Steve?
I'll take Philadelphia.
I've been going back and forth about this all week. The way the run defense was for the Eagles made me nervous. It's made me nervous all week. But one thing I've seen today is that Tennessee, well, first of all, I don't think they have enough offense after seeing their blunder at home against Cincinnati last week. But they may not have Jeffrey Simmons at defensive tackle. He's questionable, has barely practiced all week. That's
a just
factor.
Make a pick, for goodness sakes.
And they've been bad against the quarterback run.
Look, the show ends at 5, okay?
Bottom line is, I'm sticking with the Eagles and the 5.
Oh, goody. Yay. Hey, the show ends at 5. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm going to show some faith in my team and go Eagles. I'm feeling better about this than I was earlier in the week. All right.
Guess what? You know what? I'm going to sleep no matter what you pick. Let's go.
All right. Now it's time for some college football. It's championship weekend starting tonight. Pac-12 title game. USC, Utah. Steve.
I'll take USC.
King.
USC. Who wants to play them? That offense is great.
Tell you, the defense is not good. That's going to cost them in the playoff if they make it. Their defense is
against a super duper team, but these other teams are very good. But
I'll tell you right now. Utah will move the ball on them tonight.
And that's why I got the Utes. Utes win this game, and they're going to cause some drama on Sunday. Utes with the upset.
Yeah. Okay, good pick.
I'm rolling Utes, baby. Now, we go to Kansas State and TCU for the Big 12 title game. King.
TCU just seems to keep winning and find ways to win. I'm going to go with TCU, ride the wagon.
Steve.
I'm going to go with Kansas State. They were leading the first time 28-10 and fell apart in the second half. I think they finished it this time.
I'm rolling with you, Steve. Kansas State wins it this time. TCU is due for a loss. They've been very lucky the last couple weeks. I think it finally comes down to haunt them. And I still think they might sneak in, but I think Kansas State wins this game.
Can you imagine if TCU and USC lose?
Oh, yeah.
That throws the whole... everything up in the air.
So. Be awesome. Next one, we got Tulane and UCF in the American title game. King.
Tulane.
I'm rolling with Tulane as well. Steve.
UCF.
All right. That should be a good game, too.
Tulane in the Cotton Bowl.
Huh?
They would, but they're not going to now. Tennessee's probably going to play them.
Who are all these experts on Twitter? I guess they're not. Whatever.
All right, SEC Championship. LSU and Brian Kelly against Georgia. Steve.
Seems so bitter. LSU at the end of the day is going to have 4 losses. Georgia.
I got Georgia, and I don't see this game really being that particularly close just because Georgia's that good. Secondly, Brian Kelly will find a way to foul it up on a big stage as he usually does. King.
Yeah, I think Georgia is by far the best team in the country, by far. So, men against boys, Georgia.
Yeah, especially when they're led by Brian Kelly. All right, that's enough.
Jeez.
He's a Southern boy now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, did you take bitter pills this morning? What's going on?
Yeah, and that Southern accent is about as fraudulent as... I won't go there. Clemson, USC in the ACC title game, Steve.
North Carolina's not playing well. I think Clemson will win the game. It'll be relatively close, and nobody will watch it.
I think Clemson bounces back, but if UNC wins this game, there's going to be a lot of blood in Death Valley because everyone's going to slit their throats because that's pretty much where they are right now with the football
team. I was just there Tuesday. They seem fine.
You even said they were mad. You even said they were upset.
Tuesday.
Yeah, and you said they were still in bad spirits.
Well, yeah, but you know what? It's not the way you describe it.
And the pitches and torches will be out for Dabo if they lose again. But I think Clemson wins.
They're going to be on break. You're good.
King?
And Michigan wins. And Michigan wins the Big Ten game. That's it.
Yes.
Michigan's really good. I don't see Dabo losing two in a row.
There you go.
Clemson. So. And Michigan and Georgia will play for the national championship, I think. So.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, next week.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, poll picks next week, King.
Huh?
We'll do poll picks next week.
Yeah, can't wait. So I'll list up all the bowl games. It'll be great. And Penn State. I don't know.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.